Hey, welcome to another episode of the Coffee Break Podcast, where our mission is to share business ideas, practices, and strategies while we enjoy our coffee. And today's guest is Callie Langhorne. She's a publicist and recently ventured out on her own after several years in the Charlotte market, and really good information that we're going to discuss today. One, when do you need a publicist? Why is a publicist important? And what's the difference between public relations and marketing, or are they the same thing? It's going to be a fun conversation. She's got lots of information to share. So grab a notebook, grab a piece of paper to take some notes, because it's going to be valuable information for you. And if you want to find out more, you can check her out on Instagram. Just search for Callie Langhorne with an E, and you can find it there. Actually, there's two E's, right? Callie Langhorne. Yeah, check it out. And you can find all of her information there and her on her Instagram and ways to connect with her online. But in the meantime, grab a cup of coffee and get ready for this conversation.
Got so much to say, we got a podcast to make, we're sipping on lattes, and it's time for a coffee break. It's time for a coffee break.
Callie, thank you for joining us today. We're excited to have you in the studio. You're the second person in the newest iteration of the studio, so
it looks great.
Congratulations.
Honestly, thank you for having me.
The lights, though,
I mean, I'm hoping they do something for my skin tone. Take out the wrinkles for me, please.
All right, so you know the drill. First thing up is rapid fire, five randomly selected questions just to get under your skin with an unknown point value. So are you ready?
Ready or not.
All right, here we go. Question number one: what is your real favorite movie, part one? And then secondly, what movie do you pretend is your favorite to sound cultured?
Oh, gosh. Real favorite movie. I would have to say, as a recent, Secondhand Lines. Have you ever seen that one?
No.
Oh, it's just dear.
Okay.
I can't do violence. Terrible nightmares.
Yeah.
So, sorry to my husband. He's stuck with a lot of the more Daisy films, but that one's delightful. It's like Robert Duvall's in it. Anyways, definitely check it out.
Okay.
One that I would say that I love to be cool would probably be like the Bourne trilogy.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I have to like cover my eyes for about 80% of it, but
it's a great movie. I just haven't seen
it. And Matt Damon is just delightful. So, yes,
if you like Matt Damon, but if you don't, then
yeah.
But
well,
no,
I
it's
guess
a good
that's
story.
True. Yeah. Yeah. But how can you not like Matt Damon?
Well, Jimmy Kimmel doesn't.
Oh, well.
Sorry.
Okay. Anyway. Sorry, Jimmy.
You know, we're
if
like
you
this.
Hear this, I'm sorry.
All right, number two. If you were famous for something, what would you be famous for?
Oh my gosh. If you ask my family, it would have to be something related to cooking.
Okay.
Just because I love to be in the kitchen. But their standards are not that high, to be honest.
Okay.
But I take the compliment anyways. That would probably be it.
You cook amazing.
We don't
really have anything to base it off of, but
exactly,
you cook amazing.
Exactly, exactly.
All right, number three. If you could eat at one restaurant forever, what would it be?
Oh my gosh. We went to Rome last year, and there was this restaurant in Trastevere that if you buried me there, I would not be mad about it. But anyways, I can't pronounce it, so I'm not going to butcher the Italian language for us here.
Sure.
But anyways, that would definitely be it. Their pasta and their pizza was just next level. We don't do it the way they do.
No, I was in Rome in February of 2019, I believe. And
just a few months later.
It was, and their pizza, it was the pizza that they measure out and weigh out.
I mean,
yeah, you can't beat it.
No, you honestly, you can't.
It's just like, that's what we're eating for every meal.
Yes. Yeah. And we did actually. Yeah. Yeah. We came back a few pounds heavier and our jeans were a little tighter, but it was worth it.
It's like, what do you want to eat? Well, it's either going to be pasta or pizza.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's our choices.
Why would you eat anything else there anyways?
That's the whole point.
Yeah.
All right. Number four. What's a belief? Let me rephrase this one. Number four. What's a belief that you hold in which many other people disagree? So something that you believe that other people typically disagree with.
Well, clearly Matt Damon, that he's great. Maybe we can start there. Oh my gosh, that one's hard. Very thoughtful question. I would say, and this is probably just because I'm a marketer at heart, but for me, I'm pretty vocal about like my Christian beliefs on social media. And there are a lot of people who think that's not a platform for that conversation.
Yeah.
And I would disagree. So it's probably a backwards, weird answer to that question, but that's kind of what came to mind.
I think it's a very applicable question. So a lot of people have this concept that you create an online persona, and that's the only thing that you communicate. And so the opposite of that is you're just going to share your entire life and with no withholds.
Yeah, thank you. You provided context with that a lot better than I answered it. So thank you for making that a more well-rounded answer than it was.
That's what I like to do is take other people's answers and
exactly
just restate them.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Last one here. Number five is, have you done anything lately worth remembering?
Ooh. Well, a few things actually in the past few months, starting in March, ended up like taking a leap of faith and starting my own company. So that would be...
That's worth remembering.
Definitely there for sure. But then also, you know, a lot of personal development in the past few days just with the nature of the world right now and where my background and where I came from and just trying to be more unified with our Black community here in Charlotte and beyond. So that's probably a more important answer than the first, but definitely both of those things.
Yeah, it's right now when we're recording this, it's June the 3rd.
Context.
And there's a lot of, there's a lot of rioting happening.
Yeah.
There's people that are trying to protest against injustice, which is every American's right and which is something that should be done. And then you have people that are taking it to a whole nother level and actually defeating the actual purpose for peaceable protest,
which
is very frustrating. So, that's kind of life right now. All right. So let's move it. Thank you very much. You passed, by the way.
Thank you. What was my score?
Sometimes I forget the score of that was 816.
Amazing. So, I'm going to write that down. Yeah. Add that to my resume. Thank you.
Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
So getting into the conversation kind of the way that I want to phrase this today, and we'll go a lot of different directions to get there, but if anybody's kind of jumping into this conversation and who is Callie Langhorne and what is the purpose of this conversation, it's going to be the question that I want to get answered at the end is why does somebody need public relations or PR firm? Okay.
Yeah.
So that's going to be the ultimate question because I think in small business and in business in general, there's so many different levels of this and people either completely don't understand it or they completely buy into it.
Yeah.
And it's not based off of, and I'm answering a lot of my own question here. It's not based off of any type of size of business. It's just a mindset when you jump into it.
Yep, absolutely.
So hopefully we can answer all those questions and I'll remember all of them by the time we get back to it.
Perfect.
Before we get into that, give us a little bit of how you arrived here at this table.
Yeah, sure. How far back do you want me to go?
I mean,
you know what I'm saying?
It was a cold February morning.
I'll give you the quick spiel, if you will. I'm from Atlanta, Georgia, originally. Uh-huh. My parents are still there. Regrettably, mostly because the traffic is horrible. So going back to visit is not, it's a challenge to say the least, but loved growing up in Atlanta. I went to the University of Georgia in Athens, Georgia. My family is a very proud Bulldog family. Three of three kids went there.
Gotcha.
But when I was in school, honestly, my mom always said I was born like a 30-year-old at heart. Like I wasn't a good kid. I like put myself to bed. I was just weird. And I still have a lot of those quirks. But they're more socially acceptable now that you're older and truly an adult. But anyway, so when I was in school, this is really where a lot of like my passion for marketing started because I didn't know what I wanted to do. I mean, I was a physician's assistant or studying to be a physician's assistant to a middle school teacher. And then finally landed on communications, going into my junior year.
Okay.
So, you know, just let's try all fields. Why not? Sure. Let's do it. But so I had about 8 internships when I was in school from my sophomore year to, through senior, just trying to figure out what I wanted to do. And it was more of not, oh my gosh, what do you want to do? It was like, okay, what are you good at and what are you bad at? And what career can that be acceptable together, essentially?
Sure. Yeah.
So landed upon communications. I moved to Charleston week of graduation, very stubborn middle child syndrome. Parents don't do anything for me. I got this. You know, it took me a hot minute to get a full-time job, but I nannied, I dog sat, I house sat. But anyways, besides the point, fell in love with the career in Charleston. Worked with a lot of restaurants, lifestyle, food and beverage, which I mean, you cannot not love that when you're in Charleston in that mix. And truly the people there and their passion for what they do and hospitality. I mean, it's unlike any other city.
Yeah.
So I think the like tactics for how I was trained to work were definitely defined when I was in Charleston, working for a PR marketing firm there.
Gotcha.
Met my husband in Charleston and we both knew separately that it wasn't going to be our forever home.
Yeah.
I do miss a lot of the city when I was there.
Sure,
I'm very much an old soul and being in Charleston and not being as active in the, drinking community or scene and being a social, it's hard to establish a community. So, we really did like a trek across the Southeast, like where do you want to live? found Charlotte. My dad was actually born here.
Oh.
My grandmother reminds me very often that I have a lot of family member buried here. If I want any type of family reunion, that's here, and that's very real for us. So anyways, there's some roots here that I honestly didn't explore until I moved here.
Huh.
But it still felt very familiar and fell in love with it. And I will say, when I was transitioning between Charleston to Charlotte into a marketing position, I mean, Charlotte is so different than Charleston in so many great ways. Yeah. But also, when you look at the hospitality scale, I don't think we're on the same scale necessarily. It's a different scale, if you will.
Yeah, most of it's interesting that you compare those two cities or contrast those two cities, because Charlotte is kind of got that want to be a big city vibe.
Yeah.
But Charleston has that just classic, kind of relaxed community vibe, and yep, they complement each other very well.
Absolutely.
It's interesting. We actually have a crew working on a big project down right outside of Charleston, but I mean, okay, close enough that we refer to it as the Charleston Project. And people want to go there. Like, it's like, oh, can I get in on that project?
Seriously, I don't blame them.
Yeah.
I'm with them.
Do we need to go down there and visit them to see how things are going?
Need check-ins. I'm available. I'm ready to go.
Exactly. So it's a good thing. So
really fun
you just kind of happened upon Charlotte by really doing a research of the Southeast. And this was like, okay, this is the place we want to land.
Yeah. I'm a major pro-conless supporter. And my husband is even more thorough than I am, which is a good thing, because I also am more emotional. So, the balance there is needed.
Very interesting.
I have family in Greenville. I have family in Chattanooga, Tennessee. We looked at Atlanta for about 5 seconds before I said, absolutely not. I can't do the traffic.
Yeah.
Love you, Mom and Dad. Sorry. My husband's from Richmond, Virginia, so we looked there. We look at Charlottesville, just because quaint cities. I mean, we had a time.
Yeah.
But Charlotte, for some reason, you just like drive around. And we were like, okay, this is it.
Yeah.
Like, there was something about it. So
it's intuition.
Yeah.
You can take the pros and cons, but you have to make those decisions.
It's a feeling too. I'm with you. Yeah. Yeah. It was a good balance, right?
All right. So you arrived in Charlotte, and then you kind of you're really all into this, to the PR, public relations, and marketing. So, before we get too far down this path, what is the difference between marketing and public relations?
Okay, awesome. PR traditionally is media outreach. Mm-hmm. So that's when I'm like explaining to people what it is. I feel like I constantly am explaining the difference, which is wonderful, because I also feel like they're so, you say PR and marketing essentially in the same sentence, usually, they go tandem. So to differentiate them is
I've never put them together before.
Really?
Yeah.
That's funny.
Because I follow that. Public relations is, I would always classify it or associate it with press releases.
Exactly.
Right? Like
pitching. Yeah. More of that kind of stuff.
Kind of cleaning up some mess that somebody went out and said something.
Crisis communication. Yes. God bless that. Yes. Yes.
But the marketing side, I'm listening to you, and I can kind of bring those two things together, because it's taking a message of your company, your organization, but trying to connect it to a larger media opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah. And in marketing, the way at least I envision it, I mean, there's so many facets of marketing.
Mm-hmm.
It could be newsletter outreach. It could be grassroots marketing, where you're literally going door to door and you're on the street. You know, I was a Smurf in the full costume at one point, really practiced grassroots marketing. I embody that. But there's, social media is a huge proponent, portion of that. And so, marketing is just different outlets that you essentially can control, in my opinion, from like a business owner's perspective, to simply market your message.
Yeah.
Whereas PR is a little bit different of a beast, because, you don't need to have a relationship with, someone at a local Charlotte Observer or Charlotte Fiber, whatever it is, to write your own newsletter, to send that out, that's where the PR piece is a little bit different, in the fact that there's a lot more relationships that are built into that and that need to be developed for that to be successful. Whereas marketing is typically something that you can control as your own, business owner.
Can you copy this key? That's a question we get asked about 3,422 times a year. And how can you actually be sure that the person who asked that question is supposed to get a copy of that key? Well, we think you should always know who can copy your keys to your business and your home, because it could be your neighbor, an old employee, a contractor, or even worse, your mother-in-law. At LockDock Security, we believe in protected key systems, so you always know who has a copy of your key. To find out more, visit LockDock.net or stop by our Charlotte location. LockDock Security, helping you protect your people and your property. So you've been in Charlotte for 3 years.
Yes.
But you made a big splash because you were also listed as Charlotte Agenda's or in Charlotte Agenda's 30 under 30.
Oh my gosh! Yes, that was
that's
so delightful. Yeah. Such a treat. Yeah.
Boom! I'm here. Everybody, take note.
It was like 14 months in, and I remember that just because I counted it, and I was like, well, I've only been here 14 months. Yeah. But I will say, when I got to Charlotte, and there are so many amazing publicists and marketers in town. But there are also so many brands that still need voices. Mm-hmm. And so the proof to me that any publicist is on that list, and not just myself, but anyone on there, just proves that there are so many stories that need to be told still and that people appreciate that. And so that really was my biggest takeaway from being honored to be on that list, truly. Just that, you know, hey, these stories need to be told. And if I'm the one telling them, if you're the one telling, whoever's telling them, that just still needs to be done.
Well,
which is super cool.
I mean, if you derail this conversation a little bit and go to the Charlotte Agenda, and this is very local compared to our audience that is nationwide.
Right. Yeah.
Charlotte Agenda is how would you describe it from your perspective?
Honestly, I would say, and I don't think this, you know, would, you know, ruffle any feathers, but I think they're the largest following of an online outlet here in Charlotte. They have, you know, a daily newsletter, but a great solid online presence, and their social media presence is huge. Also, they've recently hired a number of new teammates to really amp up their journalism, and it's been really incredible to see what everything they're doing. Truly,
it's like they're the biggest or the best online newspaper.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, Ted Williams, I have so much respect for him, and he's been kind enough to sit down with me a number of occasions just to be, you know, more on a one-on-one base to get to know him and just learn from people, because that's one of my favorite things to do, frankly.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, he's built an amazing team over there, and they're doing great work. But I mean, so many people are. I don't know, recently, like QC Nerve, for me, I don't know if you're familiar with those guys, but they have been following the recent events. And I mean, just like the knit and the grime of everything that's been going on. And I just think that's really, really amazing.
Just trying to be transparent with it. Well, the reason I bring it up, and we kind of took that detour to talk about it, is it's, they have a massive presence and really a massive influence on the Charlotte market right now as a whole. And to be recognized in that, you know, going out across the entire, you know, area, to be recognized in that is a really cool accomplishment.
Well, thank you.
What does it take to get awareness in 14 months to get exposure like that?
Gosh, I'm trying to remember, like, even within 3 years, I'm like, what was the timeline of all of this? I just know when I moved here, the company that I worked for at the time, we were like, my biggest push was trying to help give a voice to new brands that were coming in the market, because the current restaurants are already here, and lifestyle brands, and you know, all that good stuff. I didn't want to step on toes because that was new.
Sure.
So genuinely, my thought process was like, okay, if someone's coming in, I can't offend anybody as a newbie in town, because it's a, you know, it's an equal competition at that point of who gets who. So I remember I was working with like Lifetime Athletic Charlotte in South Charlotte at the time. Booyah Gasha Bar had opened up in South Park that I'd helped them with. Undercurrent Coffee here in Plaza Midwood. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I think people like Charlotte Agenda knew how I was because I was sending these, hey, coming soon or opening tomorrow, or, you know, everyone loves new stuff.
Yeah.
It's sparkly, it's fun, it's shiny, it's new. So, you know, genuinely, I think it was just a right place, right time. But I did have to fight for those contracts, to win the business of people who, A, didn't know Charlotte, B, was trusting someone who had been in Charlotte for less than a year at that point.
Yeah.
You know, so it was an interesting balance for sure.
So I want to ask a couple of tactical questions as far as relating to business. So I want to kind of start into one. What if I'm a business owner or I'm in the marketing department of a business and I'm saying, all right, we need to partner with a public relations firm. What are the questions that I need to be asking? What are the characteristics of that firm or that individual that I need to be looking for that makes that a good fit?
Honestly, I think if you're starting to look at, you know, publicists, there are so many in town, and hopefully very like out of the bat, they'll be really upfront with you about what they specialize in or where their niche is. Cause I think that's really important. Like for me, if someone calls me and says, hey, I have an insurance company, I'm like, let me just stop you right there. You would have to take so much time to explain to me what insurance is.
Okay.
I'm not that, but you know what I'm saying? Just for an example, but that's not what lights me up. And if it's not going to light me up as a publicist, then I'm I'm not going to be your best advocate, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I think the first question you ask is, okay, you know, what is your favorite type of business to represent? And if that aligns with what, you know, the industry that you work in, that's a great start. If they don't, I mean, ask for a referral, because I'm the type of person, if you come to me and I'm not a perfect fit for you, I will find that fit. And hopefully, you know, as a true storyteller, you want their story to be told. And if you can't tell it, get someone else to do it.
That's kind of a big part of a publicist, though, is being connected to other people.
Exactly.
So.
Like, what do you mean you can't tell me anyone else to work with? What does that mean? But yeah, I mean, yeah, I think that's a great question.
So alignment in either a complementary or similar industry. So it's a different to tell a story, like you said, from insurance over to security, maybe to a restaurant.
Exactly. It's totally different. And to take that one step further from a publicist perspective, mm-hmm. the media that I, you know, take the time to get to know mm-hmm. are going to be lined up with who I represent.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you were more mm-hmm. business, you know, more on the business side, and you want your, you know, security company, for example, sure. to get more press, you know, that means that person needs to be really well acquainted with the trade publications that would fit for you.
Got it.
So, you know, and that piece is huge, because it's really hard to find one firm who can say, we do everything. You know, there are a lot of people that say that, but in my experience, I think people who have that like specialty is where you have the best relationship.
That's very interesting. Okay. So I'm trying to dig into that a little bit, because I think marketing in general, we've brought these things together, but I want to keep them as close but separate as possible.
Yeah.
So marketing in general, I think that's another good rule of thumb, is somebody that is acquainted, or mm-hmm. maybe not even acquainted, but very knowledgeable about that industry.
Yes.
Their role is to help tell a story for you to mm-hmm. the consumer. Mm-hmm. And what you're saying is, your connections, the value that a publicist brings, is they've already done all the hard work to get to the right media outlets or to the connections to the right people that they can take you to those people. But it's such a wide variety out there that, you know, you don't want to send somebody down a chain, because they're going to have to make all new connections to get your story across, right, if it's the wrong industry.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think too, it feels a little forced sometimes too, when you have that, you know, it's someone who, you can feel that tension a little bit if you take on a client that's not in your wheelhouse.
Yeah.
I've just seen publicists who are a little bit more withdrawn with that, you know, company that they're working with. Because it's like, oh, I have to do something for them. Crap. You know, like it's not like, oh my gosh, I had this great idea last night. Right before I went to bed, I sent myself an email, like, let's tackle that today kind of thing. I think there's a different feel that you get.
Yeah.
So just something to be aware of.
Just a reminder, you're listening to the Coffee Break Podcast. Also, we wanted to let you know that our team puts together a weekly blog post. You can find it at locdoc.net/blog. It's guaranteed to raise your IQ by 12 points or your money back. So it's pretty much a win-win. All right, back to the conversation.
So the first question was, what are questions you need to be asking? And it's going to be, what customers, what industries are you serving? And if they're complementary or in the same, that's great. If not, ask for a referral to somebody that is in your similar industry.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, what's the next question I would say is, when is a good time for a business to look for a publicist?
I love this question. Honestly,
well, if this is a common question, I always have to throw it out.
Okay, sorry. No. I mean, more of the sense where a lot of things in PR and marketing are mm-hmm. very situational. And that's not a cop-out answer, I promise. It's more of the sense where it depends, because it is so personal.
Yeah.
It depends where that company is. So, I mean, from my perspective, I'm like, get in early. You know, when you are starting, hey, I have this great idea, mm-hmm. and me in tandem, but because I think like a marketer, what's your branding? What are your colors? You know, like, what is your logo going to look like? Who's your target market? Have you done a SWOT analysis? All of those things immediately start triggering in my mind.
Yeah.
Sorry to see your microphone.
No, you're fine.
But so, you know, from a marketing perspective, if mm-hmm. you can get early in that and be incredibly intentional, you know, before your launch, that's wonderful. But also, you know, if you feel like you're in a rut and you're like, hey, we want some new eyes on something, you know, our jobs as publicists and you know, marketing professionals is to stalk. And I'm very open about that. Like my role is to be up to date on on as much as I can that's happening that's relevant to my clients.
Sure.
And so, you know, when someone comes to me, is like, I have an idea. I'm not sure if like this is covered in our, you know, contract, but can I throw something at you? I'm like, bring it. You know, I'm always here to be a soundboard. And I think that's a really important role that a lot of people play, need to play, at least in that perspective. So, you know, if you're in a position where you're like, we could use an extra push, or we have this great momentum, I really would like to see this continue, or maybe even get bigger. You know, it just kind of depends on where you are.
So if you're in a launching state or a growing state, if you're in a stabilizing state, then maybe not.
I mean, and it just depends on your goals too. You know, I've had people come to me and they're like, hey, you know, my sales are fine. My goal right now is to increase following on social media.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, I'm not the one to tell you like what your goal needs to be. I'm just here to help you accomplish it. So, you know, not that I can't help that piece of it too, but it just depends on, you know, what people's, what their vision is and how can you help them accomplish that.
So I've had a lot of conversations with people over the years trying to sell us advertising. And I feel like I can be the most frustrating individual because, you know, it's like, I'm never quite satisfied with the message that we're trying to get across.
Yep,
so,
I can feel that.
So my question is, what makes a good client?
Like from a marketing perspective? Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. For me, I'm drawn to people who are passionate. And I know that's like, oh, that's a cute answer. But truly, you know, I meet with people and if I can't get really excited and rally behind you with what your mission and what you're trying to do, then I'm not going to be the best person to work with you.
Yeah.
Because as a publicist, the other piece of it is like, I'm a walking billboard for you. You know, if I, if anyone comes to me, it's like, hey, what catering company you work with? I'm like, Roots Catering. Like, you know, it's very off the bat for me.
Sure.
You know, where should I go get a sandwich? Reed's Fine Foods. So, you know, for me, seriously, that's kind of how it is. And so as an extension of your brand or, you know, whatever that means, that's kind of the role that you also play in that piece.
So you, a good client is somebody that is got a good representation that you want to carry.
Exactly.
And you're both kind of complimenting each other all the time. So you want to make sure that you're very well aligned.
Yeah. And I think too, I mean, for me, you know, is it a morally sound situation? You know, there's a little more back into it where you're, you know, talking to people, meeting people. But
I have this great Ponzi scheme. I need you to market.
Oh, you're such a nice person. But, So yeah, I think there's that piece of it also. But for me, really, that's it. But I also want to experience it before I, you know, sign anybody or work with anybody, you know, because I want it to be very authentic.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be like, oh, I've heard about you. I really like you. I'll work with you. Like, no. You need to experience it yourself and, you know, have an open dialogue from the get-go, I think, before you dive in.
So I'm trying to think how to create this question without it being just a blatant, like, here's your formula or here's the recipe, but there's so much noise in the world.
Yes.
Like, what creates a good, valuable story now that's not just like, yes, we're a new business that's opening up. Hey, we're this new restaurant that's opening up. Hey, we're this. Hey, we're running this thing or whatever.
Yep.
Like, what is the, how do you dig out the value or what are those things that are going to be important to the audience that just seems like everybody is just overloaded with this is opening, that's a new thing.
Right. Yeah. I mean, for me, there's always that story of like coming soon or now open, right?
Yeah.
For any company. But what I like to do is I'm more like the nitty gritty, like deep dive.
Okay.
So, you know, like, okay, who is your chef and what is the inspiration behind his next dish? Or like, why did you choose this location? How many jobs are you bringing to Charlotte? You know, looking at it at different angles, I feel like is really important. Because I mean, a lot of businesses that are opening, especially in Charlotte, are automatically going to get some love.
Sure.
But it's more about retaining. Once you get that exposure, how do you retain it? And how do you like continue to get people to come back?
So what is your unique offering?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And also, you know, not even unique, but like, people in Charlotte specifically, it's just something I love about our community is how much we love our community.
Yeah.
Charlotte loves Charlotte, which is great. I mean, it's truly. And so, you know, when bigger brands come into the market, for example, my first question for them is, what are you going to do to make yourself more Charlotte focused?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, are you going to be, you know, partnering with anybody? Are you going to be throwing events? What are you doing to give back to the community that you're moving into? Because that's just so important here. And so I think that's a big piece of it also.
A couple of episodes back, we had Andy Pfeiffer on from Arthur Elliott, and he was talking about hyperlocal. and yeah. how you want to really make sure that your message is hyper local because it's speaking to that local community, that local yeah. city. So, and it made me think of it when you're talking about that, because now you're taking in this story and going, okay, maybe it's not the unique offering, but maybe it's just why, like you said, the story of the chef, or, you know, hey, our whatever, the owner is doing this, and this is the value add that they're bringing to the city outside of just the burgers and fries or the
right.
the fish
yeah.
that they're serving. But it's this is why this is important to the community, or this is something that's really a deep dive that you should know, but we want to bring it up and spotlight it.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, I think if anybody who starts their own company, and I've felt this personally in the past few months, is, you know, there's like a drive, and there's more than just like, I'm going to open a company. I'm yeah. going to file an LLC. Like, no. There's been some thought process in that. There's the why is there. Mm-hmm. And so how you're taking that why, you know, whether it's a need that the community doesn't know that, you know, needs to be filled, yeah. essentially. I mean, there's so many different ways you can go about it, but.
So it's interesting. And I'll give you a practical example, because I feel like I'm talking a little vague at the moment, but I want to try to get very practical on it. There's a restaurant across the way. Well, it's actually a brewery, 4001 Yancey.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Familiar?
Yes.
Okay. One of my favorite places to go eat. When I first found out about it, I was looking on their website, and they have an executive chef, and they were talking about the way that they have seasonal menus and all this yeah. stuff. And I'm like, okay, this is a place that I want to go check out.
Yeah.
That drew me in there far beyond anything else. And so we take people there fairly regularly. Mm-hmm. They're like, why are you taking us to a brewery? And I'm like, let me tell you about their executive chef. They have a seasonal menu.
Seasonal menus. Don't you love those keywords? It's brilliant. I'm serious. Yeah.
But
yeah.
I mean, when I'm looking at all the places to go eat, that is a place that I will typically lean to, because I know yeah. that the food that they're going to be preparing is got some thought behind it versus yep. just this is the menu that corporate came up with.
Exactly.
And that story could all be a bunch of bull crap. I don't know, but I read it on their website, and it seems,
I mean,
like
it's got to be true. Your food's good. Let me just say that.
It is good.
Yeah. Yeah. If that's not true, then kudos to them for fooling us all.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Coffee Break Podcast. If this information has been helpful to you, or you just really kind of like our theme song, can you help us out by rating us on whatever app you're using? And if you get really fancy, how about sharing a screenshot on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or LinkedIn? Okay. Enough of all this. Let's get back to the conversation.
So taking that in, well, you know, whatever that business model is, if you're able to uncover those things that are going to connect with your audience, because
yep.
in Charlotte, just like many other places, there's 1,001 local breweries and microbreweries. Mm-hmm. So if that's your jam, then you're going to find that. And I would imagine a lot of that's going to be based off of social connections.
Yep.
But when you want to find something different and unique, then it's, you know, you're looking in for those specific things. So I obviously there's more than just food and restaurants out there, but
yeah.
if it is your business that you make whatever widget and you sell whatever widget, well, why, what's important about how that story came about
exactly.
is kind of what I'm getting from you.
Yes. Yes. Glad I'm being transparent enough for you to have the correct takeaways I'm hoping for. But yeah, yeah.
So, but it takes somebody to actually get in there and ask those questions. So I going back to my original kind of statement that I was digging into this question
yeah.
is I've dealt with a lot of people that are trying to advertise a service that you offer, and they don't really know what you do, right? So you yeah. could go back into the understanding your industry type thing, but they're just trying to get you to sell that thing that you do, that mm-hmm. service that you do, and they don't understand what is unique or what is interesting or what is passionate about your business or your organization. And I would go back to that kind of question earlier about what makes a good publicist and say that that is a component of it, is somebody that will take the time to understand what is interesting about your organization.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, when I start working with a client, and I'm very upfront about them from the beginning, it's like, hey, I'm going to spend the first few months, honestly, doing everything I can to be like as fully entrenched in your business as possible.
Yeah.
Obviously during COVID, that's been a little more difficult because I can't, you know, just show up at people's houses and just say, oh, I'm just here to work with you for today. But I think that's a really important piece of it. And it's so huge just to listen. You know, I think there's a lot of things you can learn if you're just sitting in the corner and watching and
yeah.
just watching sounds sketchy, observing, rather is probably the right word for that. And so, I mean, I think that just builds a really solid foundation for someone to really understand you and your business and where you're coming from.
Yeah.
And I think that's really, you know, underrated. It's just like the ability to listen and then from there put together a constructive plan moving forward of like, okay, I heard you say this. You've never mentioned that in a meeting, but I picked up on that word a few times and I'm curious, you know, what does that mean to you?
Yeah.
What are your hopes for X, Y, and Z?
So kind of going back to if I'm a small business, because that's typically our target market and,
yeah.
and the people that we're trying to, that are listening to this podcast. So they are sitting there going, okay, I'm interested about this. I'm intrigued by this. And I just go online and Google
publicist
near me type thing. Like, what are the things that you're going to want to look for, or credibility, I guess, to kind of say, this is not just the person that decided that they wanted to do this on the side.
Right. I mean, I kind of relate to finding a publicist like finding a dentist. You know, it's, you don't necessarily want to go and just Google dentist in Charlotte. You maybe want to text a friend and say, hey, do you have a dentist you recommend? Kind of same thing for a publicist. Like, gotcha. Have you heard of a name? Have you heard of someone who might be interested? And like I said, it doesn't necessarily have to be in your target market to start off if you're, you know, starting your search. Because once you get someone who's, you know, in that realm, hopefully they have a good referral for someone who's not, you know, who could be a better fit for you, if that makes sense. So I think asking around is the safest way. But then, you know, the other piece of it is there are a lot of really large firms that do great work. And, you know, because they're large, you know, yes, some are saying we're a blanket, we do everything, but others are large firms that are still like have a niche. And so, you know, I don't think you could go totally wrong with the Google search, but at the same time, you know, maybe trying, you know, A and B and seeing, you know, where you get the best response from.
Do you think publicists are good at marketing themselves?
Oh gosh. I think, I mean, look at me. This is the first time I've sat down to ever talk about myself. From a career perspective.
You think about it across the board. I mean, it's not like you're seeing advertising for a publicist all the time.
Yeah. Which is comical because you'd be like, okay, you can't even like promote yourself. How are you going to promote my brand?
Yeah.
But I do think that about social media right now. Like, you know, I think social is kind of like the new website for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you're saying that you can market someone, they're going to go stalk you, you know? So how is your feed? How is your grid? What does it look like? But there's also, you know, the flip side of that is we might be so good at promoting ourselves that you don't know.
Yeah.
So I don't know. You know, we're not going to be in your face, but like you've
so subtle.
You found our name somehow.
Very interesting.
You know, I don't know. Just playing devil's advocate over here.
I think my favorite part of your answer was how you so eloquently added, what is your feed and what does your grid look like? And I knew what you meant, but I'm wondering how many people listening have any idea what that means. When you're saying what is your feed, what is your grid look like?
Okay, so if you're going to just like, you know, stalk anybody on social media, when you pull up their page, their feed, you know, you can do one by one if you're on your phone. You know, there's certain options you can click, and there's literally a grid option where you can see all the photos they've posted in the past, you know, the past 20 photos or whatever it may be, where you can scroll. And so that's what I mean about that. It's just, you know, is it cohesive? A lot of the times there's like a plan, like for me, I'm not going to post two pictures with me in it back to back, you know. It's every three. You know, whatever, there is a strategy behind all of that.
Yeah, secret formula.
I know, right? Well, I'm not sure it works, so don't quote me on that.
You can't do every third, because then when you look at your grid, they would all be lined up together.
So maybe it's every four.
Yeah, you'd have to break it up into it.
Math is hard, so that's why I'm a publicist. I tell people that all the time. Just kidding, I can count, I promise.
No, but it's a valid piece of information is, what does that presence look like? Because when you do stalk people, if it's a brand or a person, that's the easiest thing to do is going, okay, what are they about?
Yeah, right?
And I was mentioning that earlier to you. I was like, I pulled up your Instagram and I see there is...
You love food. Yes, I do.
You like food. You like pizza. So that's great.
Yes.
You like to go to the water and you have a dog.
Yes, I have a sweet puppy and she's always on there.
See, look at there. There, we picked you all out.
That's my key points right there.
Your wedding photos, you're walking on a dock of some sort. I see water.
Yeah, water. Yeah, that's...
Did you get married in Charleston?
No, we didn't. We got married in Atlanta.
Oh, okay.
But it was a little outside the city on a golf course over a lake.
I have bad memories. There was a wedding that I went to in Charleston in July.
Oh, no. I'm sorry.
Outside.
Why?
I've been asking for that for the past 10 years. Every July,
oh, man.
I remember about it, and it's like, oh.
This the so much sweat. just so much.
It's like, why? Why did we even get dressed up? I don't remember what we were talking about, but we were talking about your Instagram.
Yes, Instagram. And I will say too, and this is also going to the fact that, you know, publicists are not necessarily, well, maybe not publicists, maybe it's just me.
Yeah.
I'm very like black and white. You can ask me any question, which I probably should not have told you on this podcast. But I will say, you know, from a small business perspective, PR is wonderful. And if you're in a position where you feel like, hey, I'm ready to take that next step, definitely look into that. But for starters, start with things you can control. Start with social media. You know, social is something that you can do on your own. Yes, it is time consuming. And I fully comprehend that. And that's another reason why you might look into hiring a publicist who can just take that on as well.
Yeah.
You know, so publicists don't just, you know, send pitches to media and have coffee with media. There's more to that. You know, you can help with help plan and execute events. You can help run social media platforms, all that kind of stuff, more on the marketing field. But I will say, you know, start from that perspective, start with your social media, start with your newsletters, you know, and then from there, you know, if you start dabbling in it and feel like you're getting some traction, that's when you can turn it over to someone and be like, hey, I started this. I think there's something that could, you know, that could catch on. Like what's your, use your experience and run with it kind of thing.
So I want to ask you a couple of questions in closing, related to some of what we've talked about already. TV advertising, TV news stories versus the print or social.
Yeah.
Okay. So I want to ask a, probably an obvious question and then just try to dive into a little more, which is better.
Oh, I think it depends on what your mission is, honestly, and who your demographic is. So that's not like an easy answer for either of those, but I have clients who are like, I only want to be on TV. That's it. Yeah. And I'm like, great, we'll do TV segments as often as we can. And there are some people who say, I only want to have interactions with social media influencers on like on Instagram or on Facebook. And I'm like, okay. So it really, it's about your mission. Like, who are you trying to connect with and what are you trying to convert? You know, are you trying to prove that you have seasonal menus and you want to showcase those seasonal menus on TV? Because visuals are huge when you have any type of new menu situations because people want to see it.
Gotcha.
You know, they want to salivate through the TV with you as you're making these things. But if it's, you know, if it's more of a trade piece or more about like, you know, we are, you know, expanding to X, Y, and Z, that I think that resonates better on print because it's more about the copy and the story behind why you're expanding and not about the visuals, if that makes sense.
Gotcha.
So I know that's a long, long, complicated answer to that, but to break it down, if you have something that's more visually appealing, go towards TV, go towards social. But if you have something that's more meaty and that would be more a long form situation, long form piece, go for print and go for online.
Okay. So it,
does that make sense?
It does make sense because I feel like a lot of times we as business owners get, and I, the only thing that bothers me about your answer is that the client is deciding, you know, what they think that they need to do. And I know that there's a lot of value in that, but a lot of times I think we get so tunnel visioned into know this is the only way that we've closed ourselves off to other options. I've always been interested in kind of a saturation across the board where a little bit everywhere is more beneficial because you're touching all demographics.
This
one of my favorite things whenever I sit down and have a meal with somebody is it's somebody new that I haven't chatted with before is I'll ask them like a series of 10 questions and it's not always 10. It's whatever I can come up with at the time. But like, how do you get your news? Like, do you watch the evening news? Do you watch the morning news? Do you have a Twitter account? Like, and just kind of go across the board of how they get information. And it's never, I'm going to break the microphone too.
Glad it's you, not me.
It's there is not one age bracket. There's not one, there's no just boxes that people fall in.
I know.
But there are some interesting cross references, like the people that watch evening news typically are on Facebook or something like that, that I've found through all of my exhaustive research.
That's impressive.
But it's, so my, I guess my point of all that is, I think a lot of times in the marketing world, as we're trying to get our story across from as a business owner or whatever, we think that people operate like us in the same mindset as us all the time. And I think you're ultimately cutting yourself out from a whole nother opportunity.
Yeah, if you alienating do that. Yourself, essentially. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, that's the other thing is when you're starting out, I mean, it's about throwing spaghetti against the wall and seeing what sticks, to be completely honest.
Yeah.
Because if, you know, there's no formula that works for everybody. This is not a math equation.
Yeah.
Once again, back to math. So, you know, it's more of a, it's like a creative expression. And how are we going to translate that into mediums that make sense?
Yeah, most definitely. Well, Kelly, I know I've taken a lot of your time today, but it's been very informative for me. So I really appreciate everything that you've shared, and obviously wish you the most of success as you're
on your own now and
kind of diving into that whole new world. So hopefully our paths will cross more in the near future.
Thanks for having me. It's been so much fun.
Hey, Callie, thank you very much for joining us today. It has been an absolute blast. I have gotten so many takeaways and excited to be able to take some action on these things, as I hope many of you are as well. Business owners, leaders, managers, these are practical things that you can apply to your business and understand things that you need to communicate and when you need to get in contact with somebody that can help you tell your story even better. So thank you again very much for being a guest and taking time out of your schedule to be with us. If this is your first time watching or listening to the podcast, well, we're nearing over 100 episodes or nearing 100 episodes. So you can check that out at lockdoc.net/podcast. Many other guests along these same topics, but business leadership, business practices, things that you can implement and actually apply into your business. And they're very valuable conversations that you can take application away and put it into your business. So go check those out. You can find it all at lockdoc.net/podcast. If you're interested in seeing the video version of this, you can go check it out at YouTube and Facebook. Just search for LOCDOC. And if you're watching this online and you would like to get to the audio version of it, all the subscription links are available at lockdoc.net/podcast. You can click the link in the description and it'll take you right there as well. Thank you very much for joining us today, and we'll see you next time right here on the Coffee Break Podcast.